Well, let's open to John chapter 12. The closing out of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus. And we'll start in John chapter 12 and verse number 44 this morning. John chapter 12 and verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." And so now John has been reiterating here for the last several verses those things that the Lord Jesus Christ had taught over the course of his public ministry. And we saw some of the results of that. We have the disciples, of course, that do believe. And then we had these Pharisees and scribes that secretly believe, but they didn't openly confess him because they love the praise of men more than the fellowship with God. And then, of course, there was the vast bulk of the nation of Israel that had completely disregarded his words. And so now, in summary here, Jesus summarizes pretty much what he has steadily said all along. And in verse number 44, he reiterates something that he's said once again over and over. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." And so we are now faced with the fact here that the nation of Israel claimed that they believed in God. As a matter of fact, they fervently believed that that's what set them apart from all the rest of the world. And we can see throughout the Synoptic Gospels and even in the book of John heretofore that they very carefully kept themselves separate from all other people groups and despised all other nations and people groups. And yet we sometimes see the Gentiles intruding into the story here in the book of John and Jesus having dealt with them. And so we get an intimation here that Jesus is interested in the Gentiles, but up until this point, his ministry has been to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so now, as he closes his public ministry, he points out one more time, you profess that you believe in God, you say that that's what separates your nation from all the rest of the peoples of the earth, and all of the festivals that you maintain, all of the feast days, all of your customs, those all bespeak that you believe of God and believe in God. And yet, here I am speaking the words of God, and you believe me not. And of course, the point that he's making here is you really don't believe in God at all. This people draws nigh unto me with their lips, as the prophet said, but their heart is far from me. And so now we find very Jehovah God standing in the midst of them, speaking unto them as no one ever spake before, and as a nation, they have rejected him. Now, when we move into chapter 13, we're going to see that there's a huge change here. Now, Jesus, in chapter 13 through 17, is going to deal with believers, those that have put their faith and trust in him, and we're going to see something entirely different. But now, as he's closing out his ministry, he's closing it with these particular words. You say you believe in God, and yet you've rejected me. And he says it in a number of different ways in the passage of Scripture that we just read. Nonetheless, let's take it verse by verse, as our manner is. So let's start in verse number 44 and 45, shall we? Jesus cried and said, and remember, these are the parting words now to the nation of Israel, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Now, Jesus has said before, I and my Father are one. They took up stones to stone him. But here, as his ministry is now drawing to a close, he points this out again to the nation of Israel. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And remember, he's answering a question here that they've asked. Who is this Son of Man? He's told them over and over who he is. By his miracles, he's proved who he is, and yet they believe not. So, his parting words once again, you say you believe in God? I've shown you the proof concerning who I am. And so what's the upshot? You really don't believe in God at all. Well, let's see now that this has been a consistent theme of his ministry. And I think we should probably start in John chapter 1. All the way back to John chapter 1. We just want to see now that up until this point, this has been a consistent point. They claimed to believe in God, but they reject the Lord Jesus. And so now in John's introduction here of the Lord Jesus, we see in John chapter 1 and verse number 15 that John the Baptist, who they claimed they believed, by the way, this same John bears witness of him, verse 15, and cries, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, once again, the nation of Israel professed to believe the words of John the Baptist. They said that they believed him and they accepted him as a prophet. There wasn't much question concerning that matter. And here's John's testimony. And what is John saying? Well, he came after me. In other words, I'm his forerunner, but yet he was before me. Well, immediately the children of Israel should have been thinking of the book of Malachi. This is the voice crying in the wilderness. They learned these things in synagogue school. Not only that, but the chief theologians in the nation of Israel, they also believed that John was a prophet. They took him for a prophet. And what does he say? His opening words are consistent with their Old Testament scriptures. He's that voice crying in the wilderness, but he also says, for he was before me. In other words, John is now saying he's from everlasting. He came before me. And then verse number 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Now, the very same ones that are willing to accept that John is a prophet are not going to believe his testimony concerning the testimony that he gives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that testimony? What is this record of John? Well, verse number 17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, this immediately should stir the interest of all Israelites. They very well knew that the law was given by Moses, and they also very well knew that they had not kept it. You see, Jesus comes along at a time, historically, in the history of the nation of Israel, that they've got history. They've got a track record. They've been in captivity for their wickedness and sin and rebellion against God. Yes, the law was given by Moses, and they had not kept it. And so John has a message of hope here. Yes, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. They were in much need of grace. They were in great need of grace. And they were in much need of the truth. He who is truth now stands before them. And then in verse number 18, John goes on to say, no man hath seen God at any time. Now, they say they believe in him, but nobody has actually seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Only begotten Son. Now, they took John for a prophet, we have to remember, and these are his words. And what do they say at the close of his ministry? Who is this Son of Man? Well, John has told them before the ministry of the Lord Jesus even opens up. He is the Son of Man, but he's also in the bosom of the Father. What's John saying here? He's the Son of Man, but he's also of the Father. He and his Father are one. John is actually declaring that here in the opening of his introduction of Christ to the nation of Israel. This is who he is. If you see him, you are seeing the Father. That's what John is saying here. The Son has come forth to declare or to make manifest the Father, the one who you say that you believe in, that you serve. Okay, this is the record of John. Are they going to believe it? No, the last question that's asked here is, well, who is this Son of Man, after the question has been answered abundantly? Let's press on. Let's go to John chapter 5, shall we? We're just going to refresh our memory here concerning this matter of Israel's claim to believe in God, even as they reject he who was sent and is the very manifestation of God the Father. John chapter 5, then, and verse number 24. John chapter 5, and verse number 24. Now, this is Jesus speaking now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now remember, John says that Jesus is the very manifestation of the Father, and Jesus has now underscored the words of John, who once again they take for a prophet. And what does he have to say here? Well, first of all, he says in verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus immediately ties together the fact that he is the manifestation of the Father, and that he is in fact himself Jehovah God, and he is full of grace and truth. He now puts that forward to the nation of Israel. What's their greatest need? Their greatest need is for forgiveness, and their greatest need is for everlasting life, that they not come into condemnation. The Jews were very well acquainted with the fact that there was a place of eternal punishment. They knew there was a hell. Their problem was is they thought that because of all their rituals and because of the accident of their birth, that they were okay. But they weren't. Jesus said, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me. Two things. Hears my word and believes on him who sent me. Now the important thing is Jesus is saying, I'm just speaking the words that the Father gave me. So should we be surprised that he constantly brings up Old Testament prophecy? In fact, he even challenges the Jews to search the scriptures, and they that speak of him, they say that they believe in God, they've received the scriptures as being the very word of very God. And they think that in that, they'll receive eternal life. No, life is in the Son. One of the things that the Jews certainly did is that they treasured the Word of God. They kept the Word of God. Paul brings that up in the book of Romans. What's the advantage of the Jew? In other words, what were they good for? Well, unto them were committed the oracles of God, and they did keep them. They were faithful to do that. The problem was, is they didn't believe it. And that's what Jesus is drawing them back to here. And he does it in the context of their greatest need, eternal life. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, he says in another place. And they're smart enough to understand that. And so, he says, he that believes on me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he goes on, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, when we sit here and read this, this looks a little bit convoluted here. How can somebody that's dead hear the voice of the Son of God? They got 6 feet of dirt over them. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking to those that are listening to him, and they still have life in the body. They're not clinically dead and buried. They're dead in trespass and sin. They're alienated from God. God is the author of life. They had Genesis. They knew that God created Adam. They knew that in him was life. And they also understood what Jesus was saying here. Now is the time that the dead race of Adam hears the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Who is this Son of Man? He's reiterating it again here. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, they would readily have confessed this, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. Waiting to see if somebody's going to say something here. What was that miracle that he did just before the last Passover? He raised Lazarus from the dead, somebody that's been dead for 4 days. And then they say, who is this Son of Man? But there's more, verse 27. And in addition to that, hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. What's a great feature, probably the greatest feature of English common law, which was brought over into our system of jurisprudence? Something that the Constitution guarantees you. Unalienable rights? Yes, we have unalienable rights. That's true.
The right to a fair trial?
By who?
Jury of our peers.
A jury of your peers. Why is that important? Because who would know better how to judge than your own peer group? Well, now if a bunch of Englishmen can understand this, they can't figure out that they should come in out of the sun or out of the rain, but they figured this trial by jury of our peers business out. Who's better to judge the race of Adam? That's what Jesus is saying here. You can't accuse me, Jesus is saying, of being some alien life form that's coming in here that doesn't know anything about all your trials and tribulations. But the Father's given judgment into his hands because he is the Son of Man. Then he goes on to say, now we got to remember, these are the people, this is the nation that says they believe in God. And this is their Messiah speaking to them. And he says in verse number 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. He just deals with everybody that has come before. Because there's always the what if crowd. Or what about crowd? What about those that never got to hear the word? Oh, they're going to get to hear the word. They're in the graves, but they're going to get to hear the word. And there's a result to this. Verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What did Jesus just do concerning the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees? What do we know about the Sadducees? They denied the resurrection. What did Jesus just do? You can deny it if you want to, but you're going to be involved in it, whether you like it or not. He just shut down their false doctrine. And not only that, he speaks of the resurrection of damnation. The Israelites knew about this. What about the Son of Man? He's full of grace and truth. He's bringing them the truth here. But he's also full of grace. What's the message here? You need to listen to my words because these are the words of the Father that you claim that you believe in. And he meets your deepest need. Let's go to John chapter 8. Just in case somebody would think, well, Jesus is springing something on them here. And when they ask, well, who is this Son of Man? Like, he hasn't explained it to them. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them. Again? Does that imply that he'd spoken to them before? I rather think it does. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. Now, if we think back to what we read in John chapter 4, or John chapter 5, what was he saying there? That the dead are going to hear his voice, and they that hear shall live? Verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Remember, it takes two under Jewish jurisprudence to establish the veracity of a matter. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Who is the Son of Man, they ask? Verse 17. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness, and my Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Okay, where does the Father bear witness of him? Somebody's going to say, well, at his baptism, a voice spoke from heaven. What about the Old Testament scriptures? Over and over and over. There's such abundant testimony. They can't say that the Father, who they claim they believe in, never testified of the Son. Verse number 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Are they without excuse? Well, let's move on to John chapter 10 then, shall we? Again, the point being that this last question the national Israel asks, who is this Son of Man, has been abundantly answered before. John chapter 10 then, verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Well, I believe that subject's come up before, hasn't it? In the very context of who is this Son of Man? And they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Can you see here how, as the thing progresses, his earthly ministry, he's using greater and greater plainness of speech? Now he's not just saying, I speak the words of my Father, and my Father sent me, and my Father bears testimony of me. But now he clearly states, I and my Father are one. That's pretty clear. Of course, the question could arise, has he proved it? Yeah. He certainly has, by fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures, by the miracles that he does. He's abundantly proved to an impartial spectator that he is who he says he is. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Again? Why, we've run into that word again. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God. Well, he just brought up the fact, I just did miracles that only my Father could do. What's their response? Well, you're blaspheming and saying that you're God. Deep thinkers.
Jesus never claimed to be God.
Yeah. Bunch of deep thinkers here. Well, let's go back to our scripture for this morning, John chapter 12. I think we've abundantly shown here that throughout his ministry, and that's what John is doing here, is sort of reiterating the entire public ministry of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 12 and verse 44 again, Jesus cried, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Again, there's that challenge. "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Now, this is going to get important when we move into chapter 13 through 17, because there are some that believe, and they're going to receive a lot of light. Verse 47 then, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Well, I think this bears a little bit of examination. There is one that judges. Let's hold our finger here and turn back to John chapter 5 and verse 42. John chapter 5 and verse 42. Jesus says, "But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Here, once again, we see that national Israel claimed to believe Moses. They claimed that Moses came from God. Well, that's what they said. But did they really believe, or did their lips draw near Moses and their heart was far from Moses? What has the Lord said here that really should have shaken them up? Now, the Jews knew about judgment. They knew that God would judge. Nebuchadnezzar was proof of that, was he not? Do you think that they were concerned about the judgment of God? Of course. And look what Jesus says. "Don't think I'm going to accuse you. It's this very Moses that you say you believe in. He's going to accuse you. And he already has." They know that this is true because they ended up down in Babylon because they refused to do what Moses told them that they ought to do. Wow. Did they really believe Moses? I don't think so. Now go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 24. We had a good time with this. Then again called they the man that was born blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. Oh, you do, huh? He answered and said, Whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said unto him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Seems to be a pattern with these people. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Really? How much effort would it have taken to find out? His mother was still alive. His siblings were still alive. They didn't want to know. But they were Moses' disciples. That's how they ended up in Babylon. Sin is the sincerest form of insanity. When you look at this, and we look at it from our viewpoint, of course, as believers, we say, how could they be so dull? How could they be so stupid? It's because they have no light, and they reject the light. They don't want any light. Why? Because the light reproves the darkness, and it shows that their deeds are evil. Men love darkness rather than light. And so as the ministry now of the Lord Jesus comes to a close, the nation is still asking, Who is this Son of Man? Interesting, 2,000 years later, they're still asking the same question, aren't they? Who is this Son of Man? Let's pray.